Grace to you and peace from our Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible reading for the sermon today is the Old Testament from Isaiah 64, 1 to 9. My title for this sermon is Longing for an Open Heaven. Longing for an Open Heaven. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, as we hear your word to us today, we pray that you would fill us with your Holy Spirit, so that we may abound in hope. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, dear young people being confirmed today, you've been on quite a journey this past year. Who would have known a year ago when we gathered you together that you'd scrub up so nicely on this special day? It's been quite a journey, hasn't it? A journey of learning more about God and His Word, a journey of growth and maturity in the Christian faith. Today is by no means the end of that journey, but it is a very important step along the way, a journey that will last your whole life. This is what life is for the Christian person, a journey with the Lord. And so what I'd like to think about from our text today is, what is that journey like? What is the experience of the people of God in this life? And from our text, I'd like to look at three parts. First, to see the anguish of God's people. And then second, to see the repentance of God's people. But finally, to see the hope of God's people. This, in miniature, is what the Christian life is like. Anguish, repentance, and hope. So first is the anguish of God's people. One of the mistakes that we can make as we think about our Christian life is that we can think that life with God will mean I won't have any problems, that the journey won't have its ups and downs, that my prayers will always be answered straight away exactly how I want, and that I'll always feel the closeness of God's presence. If you haven't realized yet, that's just not the way it is. It's not the way it was for God's people of old. It's not Christian people's experience today. In fact, it's not uncommon for Christian people, especially in times of suffering and crisis, to feel that God is far away, that He's distant, that He's inactive, that He doesn't seem to know or to care what we're going through. If you felt like this, perhaps even if some of you feel like this today in your situation in life, it's not unusual. It's actually quite normal. Notice, it's exactly how the prophet Isaiah and the people of Israel felt in our text today. Did you hear this cry of anguish at the start of our reading? Oh, that you would tear open the heavens and come down. They feel as if God has closed the curtains. He's hidden from them. He's turned His face from them. There's a barrier between God and His people. They feel cut off. Perhaps you've had this experience even in human relationships. Someone you love, someone who is a source of strength and support, who suddenly seems to no longer be there for you. This is how the people of Israel felt with God. And so this deep longing for God to tear open those heavens and come down. Notice for them, it's even worse too, because they say they've known God's power in the past. They know God has rescued them before. He has come in power. He has performed great miracles. We know you can do it, God. We know you're real. We know you're powerful. You've shown it for our ancestors. So please come now and fix this mess that we're in. Almost every Christian person who has lived the Christian life for any length of time has felt like this. And as we do, we need to know we're in good company with the saints of old. Especially for young Christian people, you need to know that this will come. This will happen. There will be periods of your Christian life where God does not always feel close. It doesn't mean it's true. He's promised to be with you always. It doesn't mean you're not a real Christian. It doesn't mean you should give up. It's just how it is for God's people in this life. And therefore, to be a person of faith is to be a person who waits for the Lord. This is one of the themes of Advent. It's one of the words that comes up in our text. From ages past, no one has heard of a God besides you who works for those who wait for him. So it begins in the anguish of God's people. But then our text takes a somewhat surprising turn, as we hear next of the repentance of God's people. So if one problem as we think about our Christian life is that we think we won't have too many problems coming from the outside, another false expectation is that we won't have too many problems on the inside from our own sinful hearts. Isaiah begins by asking God to come down and show his enemies a thing or two. Come in power so the nations tremble at your presence. But he realizes the problem fairly quickly. That when you ask God to come down and bring justice, when you ask God to come down and deal with all the evil in the world, you've got to be very careful, lest you find yourself dealt with. It's from looking out there that Isaiah begins to look closer to home. And so he's moved to these extremely strong and heartfelt words of repentance for himself and his people. And so he says, "We have sinned. We have transgressed. We have all become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous deeds are like a filthy cloth. We all fade like a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, take us away." I've quoted before that quip from G.K. Chesterton, where the newspaper had well-known thinkers write in on the subject, "What's wrong with the world?" And Chesterton wrote back a very short reply, "Dear sir, I am." God's people can never focus only on the problems in the world out there without being led to see the problem in here. And this is not about being overly pessimistic and wallowing in self-pity because we're just so terrible. This is about having a spiritually clear vision of reality, where the truth is each one of us does contribute to what's wrong with the world. And what I've noticed is that some of the greatest saints of God are also the ones who know most deeply their own sin and brokenness. And just notice how strong this repentance is for Isaiah. He says, "All our righteous deeds are like a filthy cloth." He's saying even the good things that we try to do still are tainted. It's as if he's saying that we are like children trying to help clean the fine china, but we've got paint all over our hands. And the more good we try to do, the worse it gets. All our righteous deeds like a filthy cloth. It's a powerful, confronting picture. And what makes it even more powerful is not just that it's true, but that Isaiah is the one saying it's true. This is not God telling his people what's going on. It's the people telling God this is the way it is. This is deep repentance. This is a model for us. Because speaking of sin before God these days is not all that popular. But the person of God takes sin seriously. We don't dodge it. We don't downplay it. We confess it. We repent of it in all of its destructive power. So we began in the anguish of God's people. We moved to see this repentance of God's people. But then finally it ends in the hope of God's people. As we've said today, the Bible is very realistic about suffering. It's very realistic about sin. The Bible doesn't look at life through rose-coloured glasses. And so many places in the Scriptures, especially the Psalms, you will be taken right down into the depths. But you are not left there. We acknowledge the anguish. We do the repentance, but we live as people of hope. Listen to this wonderful turning point in the text in verse 8, this wonderful yet. Yet, O Lord, despite all of this, you are our Father. We are the clay. You are the potter. We are all the work of your hand. Do not be exceedingly angry, O Lord. Do not remember iniquity forever. Consider. Look. Turn your face to us. We are all your people. Dear people of God, you live as people of hope. Because in Jesus Christ, God is your Father. And you are his people. He has adopted you. You are his beloved child, no matter what. So many people today struggle to know their true identity, don't they? Who am I? What defines me as a person? But for you, baptized believers, God is your Father. You are his people. That is who you are. You live as people of hope. Because we are the clay. He is the potter. So often we talk in life about what we are going to make of it. What we are going to make of ourselves. Especially young people are sometimes encouraged to think about life like this. And so we say, well, that one, he's a self-made man. And the pressure is all on us. Whereas for you, dear people of God, it is he who makes something of you. You are the clay. He is the potter. He has created you and he continually recreates you. So that when all we see in life is a mess, he is the one who can mold and shape us and our circumstances into something for his glory. And for our ultimate good. You live as people of hope. Because God your Father did tear open the heavens and come down in Jesus Christ. This is what we prepare for in Advent to celebrate again at Christmas. Do you remember what happened when Jesus was baptized? We read that the heavens were opened. Torn open, and the Spirit descended on him like a dove, and the Father said, "This is my beloved Son." It's in Jesus that God answered the anguished cry of his people and tore open the heavens once and for all. He came down for you so that heaven would never be truly closed to you again. Your Father sent his Son to live for you. He sent his Son to die for you, to die for all of that sin, for all of that uncleanness. He died to turn away God's anger so that God's smiling face of blessing would be turned towards you. And he rose to new life, that same new life into which the potter now recreates you. And we wait for him to tear open the heavens again and to come down finally at the end to make all things new and to take us to be with him forever. You live as people of hope. So to our young people being confirmed here today, it has been a big journey to this point. And we do pray God's richest blessing on your journey throughout life. This journey with the Lord, where we experience the anguish, we do the repentance, and we live in hope. Your Father is still tearing open the heavens even this very day. He comes down to you by the power of His Spirit through His holy word. He comes down to you in the body and blood of Jesus here in this sanctuary. God grant it to us for Jesus' sake. Amen.